So give us a call or a text for we're going to talk about bad movies made by great directors. Everybody has a bad day, even really great filmmakers. And we're also going to open it up in a little bit to terrible performances by great actors and actresses. You know, even the best actor and best actress have made some bad movies and given some bad performances. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We'd love to hear from you on all those fronts. 312-981-7200. So this is a list here of 44 of the worst movies made by iconic directors. And I want to talk a little bit about these and some of the movies. I'm looking at this list, and some of these movies I actually like. I don't know. Anything pop into your head, Dan? Like a favorite filmmaker of yours that made a bad one?
You know, he's not necessarily one of my favorite filmmakers, but I remember the movie Hook came out right when I was at an age where I could start noticing when movies were bad. And like, you know, but like it was really exciting, and like the contribution of Rufio to the pop culture language is something I always appreciate when I hear that dropped. But like I remember going in and being like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, that one kind of sticks out as a bad movie.
That's yeah, that's the one that represents Spielberg on this list, is Hook. That's a really bad movie. Yeah, Esmeralda, have you ever seen Hook?
I have.
Yeah. Oh, man. So the quote from the Washington Post is, "The exposition is so underlined and then re-underlined, you could teach yourself to fly while waiting for something to happen." Hello! Yeah. I'm trying to think of, you know, a lot of people would include 1941 on the list of bad movies that Steven Spielberg directed, but unfortunately, that's a great movie, and you're wrong. But a lot of people hate that movie. I'm trying to think of other bad Spielberg movies. There have been more. Yeah, but see, there are some Spielberg movies that I don't like that everybody else loves. So it's kind of, you know, it's weird. Well, just recently, he had a string of bad ones. Now he's got two in a row that are great. The Post was great, and Ready Player One was great. But he had that stretch where it was like War Horse. And then, you ever hear Maria Bamford's discussion about War Horse?
No.
Well, I can't do it because it's Maria Bamford. Look it up. Google Maria Bamford War Horse. It's pretty funny. He had War Horse. He had that. What was the animated thing that he did? Oh man, why am I blanking on the name of it?
The recent one, the BFG.
Well, yeah, that wasn't animated, but yeah, that was bad too. But this was full on animation, and it came out like the same year as War Horse. That was bad. And
Rin Tin Tin.
Yeah, Rin Tin Tin. Yeah, it was bad. So, yeah. But yeah, Hook, I believe, would be the first one that would pop into my head for bad Spielberg. And it was really bad. So, Esmeralda, have you ever gone back and watched Hook again?
I don't think I have. I might have caught it every once in a while on TV, but I haven't sat down to watch it.
Here's the thing. I want to know who had the job of waxing Robin Williams, because there's a scene in the movie where he's shirtless and he's clean. There's no hair. Now, we all know how hairy Robin Williams was. All you have to do, have you ever seen The Fisher King? You know, he's like nude in that movie, and he's like a bear. Hair everywhere. But in Hook, he's hairless. And whoever had that job, I hope got paid like $5 million to clean shave and wax Robin Williams. That just seems like the hardest. You know, tons of people working on that movie behind the scenes, you know, special effects, set design, all that stuff. Big, big budgeted Hollywood movie. The person who got paid the most should have been the guy who or the woman who waxed Robin Williams. That's my takeaway from that movie. That's the only thing that I took away from that movie is that, Robin Williams has no hair on his chest. Yeah, it was bad. Well, we have some suggestions here for bad movies directed by good directors. So, David Lynch, they chose Dune, which is also a movie that I really like. It's weird because most of the people hate the movie. Dan, have you ever seen Dune?
I have not.
Esmeralda?
No, haven't.
Most people, the majority of the people on the planet hate the movie. Like, really, really hate it. And I really think it's great. And a lot of Frank Herbert fans can't stand it either. Frank Herbert, who wrote the series of books, Dune. But here's the crazy thing. When the movie came out in the beginning of 1984, I got my copy of Dune, and I went down to Marshall Field because Frank Herbert was there, and he was going to sign books. So I brought my copy of Dune down to get it signed. And he answered questions about the movie, and Frank Herbert liked the movie, or at least he said at that time, at that specific appearance at Marshall Field in 1984, he said that he liked it. He liked the movie, that it was really good. Now, Frank Herbert fans hate it. And I remember, who was I talking to that loves the book, Dune? And then I mentioned that I liked the movie, and they were like, what? Are you insane? And then I told them that Frank Herbert liked it, and they said, I don't believe it. And I just, there's no way I believe it. No way on earth that Frank Herbert could like it. So Dune is for David Lynch. That's the David Lynch choice that they made. And they quote from Roger Ebert's review in the Sun-Times from when it came out. This movie's a real mess, an incomprehensible, ugly, unstructured, pointless excursion into the murkier realms of one of the most confusing screenplays of all time. Jeez, Rog. Would you tell us what you really think? I have a great memory attached to seeing that movie. One of the reasons why I loved it so much was because it's a very out there, weird art film. And they actually had Happy Meal tie-ins to it, and they marketed it as though it were like a Star Wars type sci-fi movie, when it's nothing, it's not even remotely like that, but they really tried to market it that way. In fact, they had like little action figures, like Dune action figures. So out there somewhere, Dan, maybe you could find it on eBay. There's a little Sting, because Sting's in Dune. And there's a little Sting action figure. He had a little action figure. And I think the action figures from Dune are probably collector's items, because I think they didn't sell. Maybe they were down, you know. I think they were in the budget special bin like a month after the movie came out. But they had toys and weird like promotional tie-ins, and none of that worked.
Prices ranging from $25 to $35.
That's not bad. I mean, I don't think they manufactured many of them, or at least they never had like a second run, you know?
According to this, there's one that's still in the box, autographed by Sting, that he is selling for $1,750.
You've got to be kidding me.
Or best offer.
And Sting autographed it? Oh, man. One of my favorite memories attached to that movie was... I saw it with my girlfriend at the time, and we went to see it, and it was at the Water Tower Place. When the Water Tower Place had movie theaters, it was at the Water Tower Place. So we go to the Water Tower Place, and we see the movie. And at one point, about an hour and a half, because it's like 2.5 hours long, one point about an hour and a half in, my girlfriend's sleeping, half of the people in the other... and the rest of the crowd are snoring. People were like, it was like me and like four other people were awake at one point in the movie. My girlfriend's like just dead to the world. Like, she's out. And I just found it so amusing that we were in a theater in a mall watching this movie. You know? Like, I can't imagine people, you know, like at the mall going, hey, what do you want to see? Oh, there's a science fiction movie. Hey, let's stop at the Cinnabon. And then let's go see a science fiction movie here at the mall. And they see Dune. And it's like, what the hell is this? I like it. I don't care. I think it's good. And then was it the Sci-Fi Channel that did the miniseries? I think it was the Sci-Fi Channel that did the miniseries, which was more faithful to the book, and people liked that more. And then there's the extra extended David Lynch version, which is like 3.5 hours long, that he took his name off of, because he didn't recut it. But they released that on video. So if you want to see, if you hated the original version at the length of 2 hours and 30 minutes, you can watch the 3 hour and 40 minute version that even David Lynch took his name off of. So anyway, great directors, bad movies. There's Dune. But I think it's good. All right, 312-981-7200. And we're also going to talk about great actors and great actresses who have given terrible performances. If you want to jump in on that, we'll expand it to both actors, actresses, and directors. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right. You got weather and we got traffic, and here's your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue, wet Michigan Avenue. We're prepping to get ready for some more lines of thunderstorms that will be coming through the area, and we'll keep you updated on everything that's happening. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about directors, great directors who have made bad movies, and we're expanding that also to great actors and great actresses who have given really bad performances. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us. We would love to hear from you. Let's see. Let's see, take a look at here. For Wes Anderson, they have The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, which I agree with. That's the only Wes Anderson movie that I don't like. Dan, have you seen Life Aquatic?
I have not.
Ezra, have you ever seen it?
I think so.
It's
they all kind of blend together.
It's Bill Murray. Most of it. Well, I should like it. You know why I should like it? A lot of it takes place on a submarine. Whoa, wait a minute now. My mind has just been blown. It's a submarine movie that I don't like. There's the whole climax of the movie takes place in a submarine. Wow, now I have to rewatch it. Maybe I was wrong about it. But it's Bill Murray is the, well, Bill Murray's in all of it. Bill Murray's in it. You remember that Wes Anderson movie that Bill Murray's in? You know that one?
Do they have quirky characters?
There's quirky characters in it.
And a soundtrack that is unusually familiar but different?
Yeah, it's all that, but it's, you know what, you know, do you know what the gimmick was, Esmeralda, in Life Aquatic? Was they had someone like a troubadour, you know, like a Greek chorus, singing acoustic versions of all Bowie songs.
Yeah, they actually, I think they're coming, they're doing a tour of that this summer.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm.
That was the best, the best part of the movie, in my opinion. I remember really liking Willem Dafoe in it. I remember really, because it was one of those movies, it was a real big disappointment to me, because at that point, I felt that, you know, he was on a roll. He's still on a roll, Wes Anderson. I love Wes Anderson, but he was really on a roll. And I remember when that came out, I was hugely disappointed by it. But I loved the Bowie stuff. I loved the Bowie songs. And I liked Willem Dafoe in it a lot. I should probably watch that one again. I should probably give it another chance, considering how much I like Wes Anderson's other movies. So, yeah. Do you have a favorite Wes Anderson movie, Esmeralda?
I don't really.
No?
Find.
Oh,
I mean, those movies are okay, but I feel like he goes to the well every time.
Well, he does. I mean,
hipsters will come a flocking.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, and I embrace that. I love Wes Anderson's style, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, he does. I mean, you know, there's no 5 minutes into a Wes Anderson movie, you know, you're in a Wes Anderson movie. But I think he's made some really a lot of great movies. My favorite is The Royal Tenenbaums. I think The Royal Tenenbaums is a beautiful movie. So, but yeah, Life Aquatic. I think that's the weakest one. So, let's see. Here's Pat on WGN. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Nick. I saw years ago Missouri Breaks with Brando and Nicholson.
Yeah.
And half the people in the theater were asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a, you know, both those guys, Nicholson and Brando, have made some stinkers. Brando more so than Nicholson. Nicholson hasn't, you know, really given a horrible performance. He's done performances that are similar, where he's got that Nicholson bag of tricks that he relies on all the time.
Yeah.
But Brando has made a lot of bad movies. I mean, you know, Missouri Breaks is not a great movie, but Pat, do you ever see Island of Dr. Moreau?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was such a train wreck. And he's, you know, Brando at one time was the greatest actor on the planet. And then there was this period of time where it got to the point where he just didn't care anymore.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
All right. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Island of Dr. Moreau with Marlon Brando?
No, just bits and pieces.
And Val Kilmer? It should be seen to be believed. It's so insane. And there's a documentary about the director, the original director, Richard Stanley, who got fired and replaced by John Frankenheimer. And the documentary is Island of Lost Souls. It's called Island of Lost Souls. And it is It's unbelievable. What the story, the backstory behind this Island of Dr. Moreau is insane. With David Thewlis, Fairuza Balk, Val Kilmer, Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando was a lunatic on set. And Val Kilmer was, you couldn't direct Val Kilmer. He was insane. He and Brando clashed all the time. David Thewlis started sleeping with Fairuza Balk, and he was married. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. So the director gets fired, but this was his passion project. He always wanted to make Island of Dr. Moreau. And so what he did was he got fired. He got canned. They brought in John Frankenheimer, who just came in and basically played referee between the insanity of Brando and the insanity of Val Kilmer. And they shot this on location on an island that a typhoon hit, wiped out all the sets. I mean, it was just every wrong thing that could possibly happen on a movie happened on Island of Dr. Moreau. But the insane thing is that Richard Stanley, the guy who originally directed it, when he got fired, he went back, and he was still friends with, the crew. He went back into the makeup department because the movie's got a whole bunch of creatures, like animal-like creatures. So they put him in makeup as one of the background animal creatures, one of the mutants, so that he could observe what was happening on the set. And why he didn't write a book is stunning to me. He's in the documentary. He talks about it all in this documentary. But yeah, he was put under makeup. Nobody knew about it. And he was one of the mutant creatures, and he got to watch the insanity that was happening on his movie. Just like standing there, under all this makeup, going, "Oh my God, look what's happening! What is Brando doing? Why does Brando have a little person? He insisted on having this little person in every scene with him, and have them have matching wardrobes. It was like Mini Me before Mini Me. Insane movie, absolutely insane. Easily the worst Marlon Brando performance ever." Okay, we're talking about bad acting or bad acting by good actors and bad directing by good directors. But the news is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, Triple Play Thursday. And a little Boston, man. Joe or John in Indiana, More Than a Feeling by Boston. That's another one of those albums in the 70s. The first Boston album, that was another one of those. If the FBI busted into your house and you didn't have a copy of Boston's first album in your collection, you go right to jail. Same goes with Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. You didn't have that, jail. Peter Frampton Comes Alive, jail if you don't have that. Dan, did you see that Fleetwood Mac is touring? They fired, you heard they fired Lindsey Buckingham, right?
Yes.
So Lindsey Buckingham will have more free time to be on What's Up With That. And get bumped every single time. Did you see who replaced him?
I saw it was a couple different guys.
But Neil Finn from Crowded House.
Ah.
And they're playing the United Center.
Ah, there you go.
The tickets go on sale tomorrow. I was like, what the hell? Can they still sell out the United? I guess so.
I would think so.
Really?
I would think so, yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, if everybody owned it in the 70s.
Yeah, it's true. And they were bigger even that. They went on. They had albums for years, and it's just Lindsey Buckingham was a pretty important part of that band, especially during that time period. During Rumors that, but he was a pretty important part of that band. Neil Finn's cool though, so I don't know. I was just like, wow, they're playing the United Center. Holy cow! All right. All right, we're talking about bad movies made by good directors, bad performances given by good actors and actresses. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And if you want to text in here, we got some texts coming in. Steve says, Barry Levinson has directed some of my favorite movies, including Avalon, Diner, Liberty Heights, Tin Men, and The Natural, among others. But there have been some clunkers like Sphere, Envy, and Toys. Toys is a terrible movie.
Is that movie with Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Love that movie.
No, really? My God.
Joan Cusack's got that weird hair. She's a robot. Come on.
I hate that movie.
LL Cool J is in it.
I don't even remember anything that you're saying. I just saw it the one time, and I remember hating it. But you have to. Here's the thing. I was never a fan of Robin Williams, so that's a big thing. He always made me crazy. I will say this though, the one Robin Williams movie that I think he's good in a few movies. We talked about the creepy Robin Williams movies, Esmeralda. I like those. But I really, really loved him in World's Greatest Dad. Bobcat Goldthwait's movie, which is so dark. Have you, Esmeralda, have you seen World's Greatest Dad? You've seen it?
Yep.
Okay. You know what's really amazing? Was the audience that I saw it with. I saw it the Friday it opened at the Landmark Century over on Clark and Diversey, okay? So it was a matinee performance. So it's like, I don't know, noon, 12:31 in the afternoon on a Friday. And the crowd clearly had no idea what they were in store for. But it was mostly senior citizens and, you know, some people who clearly were like, oh, it's Robin Williams, World's Greatest Dad. It'll be wacky. Can you guess the number of walkouts, Esmeralda? Because there were six. People were like, what? Because having seen the movie, Esmeralda, you know that it's not, oh, Robin Williams, wacky, World's Greatest Dad. It's not that at all. It's as dark and twisted as you can possibly imagine, and very adult. Yeah, that was sort of my favorite. One of my favorite movie going experiences was first of all adoring that movie because I love it. It's Bobcat Goldthwait rules, and Robin Williams is great in it. Being surprised by how much I loved it, and just really thinking it was funny that this, you know, the senior citizen matinee group would come out to see this movie. Oh man. Dan, have you seen World's Greatest Dad?
I have not.
It's something. It's something. So, yeah. All right. 312 says, I lived in San Francisco when they were filming Howard the Duck, and I got to be an extra in the concert scene, and I thought, cool, I'm in a George Lucas movie. Well, to be fair, George Lucas didn't direct it. He did not direct it. Willard Hayek directed it. But Lucas did co-write it and produce it. George Lucas, by the way, is on this list, and they put Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, as a bad George Lucas movie. He's made more than one bad movie, I can tell you. I can tell you that. And by the way, The Phantom Menace is not the worst of the first set of Star Wars movies, the second set of Star Wars movies, the trilogy. Because Attack of the Clones is worse than the Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace does have Dan. You know which scene I'm going to say, because my favorite moment in the movie is during the pod chase or the car chase, the floater chase, whatever the hell those things are called.
Pod, actually, I think you were right.
Yeah, where they're racing around, and that little jerk, the little Anakin kid, is they're having the race, and then all of a sudden there's a slam cut to the sand people laughing. That was my favorite. Okay, that was like, I went, I laughed at that. And the lightsaber scene between Liam Neeson and Darth Maul, pretty badass. It's pretty badass. Rest of the movie is horrendous, but that was pretty badass. Attack of the Clones has nothing. It's got Yoda flying around like Q-Bert. George Lucas. Oh, man. 815 area code says, wait a minute, Esmeralda has seen Hook, but she hasn't seen any Jim Cameron movies?
It's my M.O., man.
It's totally. Totally. Corsican Brothers, only Cheech and Chong movie Esmeralda has ever seen. And Esmeralda, please be aware that that's not representative of what Cheech and Chong are capable of doing in case you want to recast them in Bong Marine based upon their performances in Corsican Brothers. Peter in Decatur said, Laurence Olivier is terrible in The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond and the infamous quote, I have no son. It's also a bad movie. Yes, you're right. Laurence Olivier is embarrassingly bad in The Jazz Singer. It's a remake of The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond. What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? So, Love on the Rocks ain't no big surprise. Remember that song? Dan, you remember Love on the Rocks?
Actually, I don't.
You don't? Esmeralda, you remember Love on the Rocks by Neil Diamond?
No.
Love on the Rocks. Ain't no big surprise.
So is it love as it's a drink or love as it's in trouble?
It's in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah. And the female lead is Lucy Arnaz. Lucille Ball's daughter. So you got Neil Diamond, Lucy Arnaz, Laurence Olivier in a remake of The Jazz Singer, one of the classic silent films, the first sound movie of all time, actually. Nothing can go wrong there. It's such a terrible movie. The music's okay, though, because it's got Love on the Rocks. Ain't no big surprise. Tell me a story, and I'll tell you some lies. I can't believe you guys have not experienced the majesty of Love on the Rocks.
Us deprived youngsters. Esmeralda, what do you say? We double feature.
I don't know how we've lived until now.
Titanic and the Jazz Singer or whatever. What's the movie called?
Yeah, Jazz Singer.
Okay.
Yeah, Jazz Singer. But it's got you got to make sure you don't get the original because the original is like a classic good movie. But the remake with the fantastic cast of Laurence Olivier, Lucy Arnaz, and Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond, by the way, fun to watch on stage. He can't act. But he does sing Love on the Rocks. Ain't no big surprise. If I'm not mistaken, I think that song was nominated for Best Original Song for an Oscar. I think it was a huge hit. And you know what other song is on that soundtrack, Dan? They're Coming to America. Now you guys know that song, right?
Yes. You know that.
Yeah, that's from the Jazz Singer. It was like the I think if I remember correctly, like the soundtrack sold like millions of copies and six people saw the movie.
I can confirm it made number two on the Billboard Hot 100. So for Esmeralda, it does not.
It doesn't count right? Okay. Song. Oh, did Love on the Rocks was number two?
Yep.
Love on the Rocks. Ain't no big surprise. Tell me a story, and I'll tell you some lies. You know, another reason why you should just at least look at clips from the movie, the costumes that Neil Diamond wears, the shirts, because it was released in 1980, so there's a lot of, like, silk shirts that are kind of unbuttoned with big collars and stuff, and crazy slacks. So just, but you know, the Peter Indicator is absolutely right. Laurence Olivier is embarrassingly bad in it. Terrible, terrible performance by, of course, many consider to be the greatest actor that ever lived. All right. Now I want to hear Love on the Rocks. Love on the Rocks. Maybe somebody will call in with a Neil Diamond triple play.
We do have a bump left after our triple play runs out.
Oh, okay. That's right, because we're going to run out of the triple play. All right. Maybe that'll happen.
Stay tuned, everybody.
See, that's a tease right there. We're
the
teasing
edge of our seats.
The possibility of playing Love on the Rocks from the Jazz Singer soundtrack. You want to get listeners? That's how you do it. That's why I got a plaque right there. It's getting rained on, man. All right. Hey,
you're going to set up an umbrella over it?
I put a little umbrella over it, some police tape.
I'm sure Farnsworth Bentley isn't doing anything right now. He'll hold the umbrella for you.
I can't believe you made that reference. Well, it makes sense. That's great.
That's all he did.
No, I know that's all he did. There you go. We're back to 2000.
He's very qualified.
Back to 2003 again, everybody, in case you were wondering. Yeah, man, Boston. Yeah. An FM rock station staple. Triple Play Thursday, very appropriate. Two for Tuesday. I'm sure there have been millions of Two for Tuesday requests for Boston over the years. Bird has probably played many hours of Boston. Skayfish, all those guys. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue. Kind of raining, a little drizzly out there right now, but we're keeping track on everything that's happening weather-wise. We are talking about good directors who have made bad movies and good actors and actresses who have given terrible performances, and we would love to hear from you. The suggestion of Laurence Olivier being terrible in The Jazz Singer got us to talk a little bit about that classic 1980 masterpiece with Neil Diamond and Lucy Arnaz. And here's Mitch on WGN. Hey, Mitch.
Morning, Nick. Hey, before I tell you my story real quick, I want to tell you that you keep me entertained every morning as I drive in from Indiana.
I really appreciate that, man. It's that's my job. I want to keep everybody company and keep everybody laughing in the morning, you know?
You do. I'm up at 3 a.m. and I drive in. I'm at my desk at 4:30 every morning, and I look forward to tuning you in.
That's great. Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate that.
So here's the deal. I couldn't tell you what year it was. I've been married since 1980. not long after we got married, my wife and I went to see the jazz singer. I don't know why. And we're in the theater, and there might have been a dozen people. I don't know if there was still a dozen by the time it ended. But it became fairly clear to everyone there that this was a train wreck.
Yeah.
And so some of us who are a little less shy were sort of mocking things out loud in the theater.
Right, right.
And I think the movie, if I remember right, I think the movie ends, or near the end, he's driving in a convertible, Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
And the wind, I don't know how they shot it, because convertibles are designed so that it's not like being in a motorcycle, on a motorcycle, but the wind is blowing his hair, and he can barely keep his eyes open as trying to act and drive. Love on the Rocks is playing. I don't know if he's singing out loud, or I think he's just, you know, being emotional.
Yeah.
And I could not resist. I sang out loud with the movie, or with the music, and I sang Love on the Rocks, Ain't No Big Surprise. I opened my mouth, and in flew two flies.
Very good.
And I got a few applause from the theater there. My wife just hung her head in embarrassment. Everyone else appreciated it.
If I remember correctly, that sequence that you're talking about, Mitch, is when he goes away and drops out of entertainment and grows a beard. And just kind of, he tries to have a reckoning and deal with all the emotional situations. So the visual was that he was thinking and being by himself, and that was represented by the beard.
Well, here's how bad that movie is. That is literally, and I do know what the word literally means, that is literally the only part I remember from the movie. And it's probably only because I got a smattering of applause for coming
there
up
you
with
go.
A funnier line. So anyhow.
That's a good line.
Yes, terrible movie, and yeah. I never ever get in again to figure out why it was so bad.
Yeah, that's great. All right, Mitch. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome, sir.
Have a good morning. There you go. That's funny, man. And it is one of those movies, Dan, that is, you know, Mystery Science Theater worthy of mocking. It's that kind of bad movie. And he gets all introspective, Dan, because he's all upset, drops out of the music business, and walks around in the desert with a beard. That's like the big emotional thing. You know, he's going through something really heavy because of the beard. Why else would Neil Diamond have a beard unless he was dealing with something?
Come on.
Love on the Rocks.
All right.
I'm looking at some suggestions of bad acting by good actors. Matthew McConaughey in The Dark Tower. Yeah, it's a bad performance. It's a bad performance. Hard for me to say that. Well, Matthew McConaughey's been in some bad movies, but he's usually good in them. But he's not good in The Dark Tower. How about this one? Cate Blanchett in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Listen, Cate Blanchett was the least of the problems of that movie. She's not good in it, but she's not the worst part of the movie. I think the CGI monkeys running around with Shia LaBeouf, that was the... And the refrigerator scene. Esmeralda, did you see the fourth Indiana Jones movie?
No.
All right, here's what happens in the fourth Indiana Jones movie. They set off a nuke, a giant nuke, in the desert. Indiana Jones, he survives it. You know why? Because he goes into a fridge. He goes into a refrigerator. And he survives a nuclear blast because he's in a refrigerator.
How did he get out?
He opened up the door. Just got out.
You can't do that. That's how little kids keep getting stuck in them.
Yeah, I know. That's why you have to take the door off of a
exactly.
fridge if you stick it in a junkyard. But no, Indiana. He's Indiana Jones.
Oh, wow. Do you whip it?
Well, I think if I remember correctly, I've only seen the movie, thankfully, once because it's horrible. That's one of the... Maybe this is the worst Spielberg movie. Hold on a second. This movie's worse than Hook. Yeah. This is the worst Spielberg movie. Anyway, if I remember correctly, the blast goes off. There's a countdown to the blast, and he's like, I'm Indiana Jones, and I gotta save myself. Suddenly, he sounds like Foghorn Leghorn. I don't know where that came from. He runs into the fridge. He closes the door. The blast happens. The fridge goes flying. Flies like 300 feet, hits a wall.
With him in it.
With him in it. Flies like 300 feet, hits a wall, hits the ground, opens, and he gets out, and he's okay.
Oh, okay. I thought he just pushed it open.
Just pushed it
open. I was like, what?
He's Indiana Jones. He can do anything he wants.
I recently was at a bar and they were playing, it was on TV, TBS or whatever, that movie with Adam Sandler as a twin.
Oh my God, Jack and Jill.
Right. Oh. And Al Pacino?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, I don't know.
Does he owe Adam Sandler money?
I have no idea. Hey, listen, Nicholson was in an Adam Sandler movie too. I don't know.
What kind of spell is he putting on these old dudes?
I don't know. Yeah, Al Pacino, he's in like three scenes in that movie. It's embarrassing.
He's in a lot of scenes in that movie.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
He's trying to woo the female Adam Sandler.
That's right. Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Horrendous. Oh. All right. We have to take a break. And we got the news coming up next. Wow. John going later Boston with this one. Dan, a little controversial choice. Is it? This is mid-80s Boston, not 1977 Boston. I don't know. Anyway.
When he called in the request, he did hesitate on the third track.
He hesitated before he said Amanda?
Like, what's a good third song? Amanda. I was like, all right.
All right, John in Indiana. Thanks, buddy. That was Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. We're live in the Allstate studio on Michigan Avenue. Raining on Michigan Avenue. Not hard. It's coming down okay. So we're keeping track of the weather, what's happening throughout the morning and throughout the day, and how it will affect you. Stay tuned to WGN for everything you need to know. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about when good directors make bad movies and when good actors and actresses give terrible performances. 312-981-7200. So they've chosen Sofia Coppola, and their choice of Sofia Coppola is Marie Antoinette, which is a movie I love. My choice would be her last movie, The Beguiled. That would be my choice. That's the. In fact, I think that's the only Sofia Coppola movie I don't like. I've liked all of her other movies, except for The Beguiled. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact how much I like the original and how she kind of strayed from what the original was. Nothing wrong with the performances in it. Cole Kidman, Kristen Dunst, and Colin... I was going to say Colin Jost.
A bit different.
A little different. Colin Farrell. It's just not, it just didn't like it. It's the only Sofia Coppola. So my choice would not be, I loved Marie Antoinette. I thought that movie was great. And I don't know. I know a lot of people hated it, though. When it came out, I was very much in minority. I remember when I reviewed it, people thought I was nuts. I was like, they're like, what? Joel and Ethan Coen. Which one do you think they have for the Coen brothers, Dan? That they choose for, yeah.
Don't know.
Lady Killers. Mm. Lady Killers. I would pick, and Lady Killers is a legit choice for a bad Coen Brothers movie. Totally legit. A bad Tom Hanks performance, too. Another, it's a great, great actor giving a bad performance in a bad movie directed by great directors. My choice, and I know it's not a popular one, but my choice by far, the movie I hate that the Coen Brothers directed is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I know that, have you seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I have, yes.
And you liked it.
Yeah.
You know, either people love it or they like it. The music's great. The soundtrack is, I will not argue the soundtrack, because the soundtrack to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is great. But that movie, I hated that movie. I remember sitting in the theater, because that was their follow-up to Lebowski. Okay? Now I remember sitting in the theater, again, at the Landmark Century on Clark and Diversey, and, you know, pretty good-sized crowd. When the movie ended, you know, some people were leaving, and I was just kind of sitting there because at that point they had run off like five in a row that were just great. One of them being, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time, Barton Fink. So like five movies in a row, superlative. And you know, Lebowski was a movie that had to catch on. When Lebowski came out, nobody liked it. I remember I was one of the few people that liked Big Lebowski, and people hated it. And it wasn't until years later that it caught on. But it comes after Lebowski, and I'm just sitting there, and there's a guy sitting about two seats away from me, and we're both just kind of sitting there, and we kind of look at each other, and we made eye contact, and there was this sort of unspoken thing where I could see the disappointment on his face, and he could see the disappointment on my face, and we both just kind of looked at each other and kind of shook our heads, looked back at the screen, and then I looked back at him, and I went, am I wrong, or did that suck? And he goes, no, it sucked. Thank you. So... that would be my choice. All right, you want a bad performance by a normally good actor, a guy I like?
Sure.
Jesse Eisenberg in Batman versus Superman. So you've seen that, right, Dan?
I have, and that is a good choice.
Why the hell did they cast him? That's the main question. Why did they cast him, and what was he doing? What was that performance? Like, snarky, you know, Gene Hackman probably went to the theater and saw that and was ready to flip tables. Because Hackman is Lex Luthor. That's Lex Luthor. That's how you play Lex Luthor. I don't know what the hell Eisenberg was doing. I don't know what was going on with that whole movie.
I don't think they did either.
Nobody did. Except for the Wonder Woman stuff. Again, the Wonder Woman stuff, best thing in the movie. And in the Justice League, best thing in the movie was the Wonder Woman stuff. Dummies. All right, how about this? They picked Natalie Portman in the Star Wars trilogy. Would you agree with that, Esmeralda?
I didn't really. No.
She's bad in it.
I thought she was whatever.
But she had to. Well, here's the other problem.
I mean, the movie was
terrible. Mm. She had to act opposite Hayden Christensen. That's one of the major problems. Hayden Christensen has been good in one movie, and that's Shattered Glass, because he plays a weasel in it.
So it works out for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. He's perfectly
playing his normal self.
Yeah. They've picked Kristen Stewart in the Twilight Saga. See, that's the thing about Kristen Stewart, is that nobody knew how... And Robert Pattinson. Nobody knew how good those two people were until they got that stupid Twilight Saga out of the way and then started doing really good movies and giving great performances. And right now, Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart are two of the most interesting actors and good actors working today. They both gave great performances last year. She was in two great movies. He was in Good Time. He was great in that. So, yeah, the Twilight Saga, bad all the way around.
I mean, they weren't given much to work with.
No. Hey, listen, they got their money, though. You know what I mean? Like, they made bank.
Paid.
They made bank on that movie, and what they're doing with that bank is taking chances on good movies. You know what I mean? Like, doing little movies that aren't going to make a lot of money just so they could act. And Kristen Stewart's, I mean, I just think she's a fascinating actress. I really do. And you couldn't see that at all in the Twilight movies. And she was only in a couple of movies before that. She played, you remember her as the little, she was Jodie Foster's daughter in Panic Room?
I didn't see it.
Oh, Panic Room's good. Fincher. Has Fincher made a bad movie? My choice? Most people say Alien 3. I say Benjamin Button. Benjamin Button, I think, is by far the worst movie David Fincher has ever made. I liked it the first time when it was called Forrest Gump. All right, here's Tony on WGN. Hey, Tony.
Yo, Nick, what's up,
hey,
man?
Hey, man.
I got two good actors and two horrible movies that they played in.
Okay.
Your buddy, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Playing Harvey, Two-Face.
Oh, God.
Batman Forever.
Batman Forever, terrible. He's terrible in that movie.
And, God, I mean, like I said, it's like eating popcorn with hot sauce on it.
All right. Who's the other one?
Glenn Close playing Cruella De Vil.
Oh, I liked her in that.
She had no business doing that.
Well, you know they're making another live-action version of that, right, Tony?
Don't tell me that, Nick.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry to ruin your morning, but you know who's playing Cruella De Vil? Because it was Glenn Close was in the first time they did it. They're rebooting it. It's going to be called Cruella. It's not going to be called 101 Dalmatians. It's going to be called Cruella. And it's Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Yeah, Emma Stone's playing Cruella De Vil.
Never mind, man. I'll go make a dental appointment, man.
All right. Okay, man. Have a good morning, Tony.
You too, dude.
All right, buddy. Take care. Tony's called in a bunch of times. Now, Dan, are you surprised that his love for 101 Dalmatians, does it surprise? Knowing Tony's, you know, his voice and his style and the way he's called in before, would you expect him to be like loving and be upset about 101 Dalmatians being ruined?
It does surprise me. Yes.
I think Glenn Close is good in that. I think she's good in that. I'm trying to think of bad Glenn Close performances. I guess she's had a few, right? But she's really good, though. There can't be that many bad performances. All right, Alexander Payne. People say downsizing. I liked it. For me, Alexander Payne hasn't made a bad movie. And he's made some great ones. All right, Johnny Depp. What would you say for Johnny Depp? Worst performance by Johnny Depp. Who is it? Who can be a really terrific actor? Now, you've got a few to choose from in the bad category. What would you choose?
The only one I can think of is that one where he has to run around the hockey arena or whatever.
Oh, Nick of Time.
Yes.
with Walken, right? Walken's the bad guy in that movie, am I right? Now, you know what? You remember the gimmick of that movie?
No.
It was all in real time. Like, all the events take place. You know, the movie was 99 minutes.
In an hour?
In 99 minutes, yeah.
Change.
But they cheat like hell in it. Because I remember watching it, and I'm like, all right, fine. I'm going to hit the stopwatch, see how realistic this is.
You don't get a free pizza.
But I don't care. I was like, you can't. And they cheated. Because, you know, there's one part in the movie where he's like on the 80th floor of a building. Hmm. And then, like, it takes him 30 seconds to get down. I'm like, no!
It's a very fast elevator.
So you would choose Nick of Time?
Yeah.
You ever seen Mordecai?
No. No.
How about Dark Shadows? Have you seen Dark Shadows?
Oh, I did. Oh, I didn't. I mean, he was doing Willy Wonka. Again.
He was doing what Depp and Burton do a lot.
Yeah, he was just doing that weirdo character.
I didn't hate it as much as most people did, but Mordecai is terrible. Mordecai is really terrible. So, all right, let's break for some weather and some traffic, shall we? And then more good actors doing bad work, and good directors doing bad work. 312-981-7200. Say they want you. Ooh, how they really need you. Suddenly you find you're out there. That's great. Neil Diamond, everybody.
I think the cat showed up.
That was a huge song, man. From Jazz Singer, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. Maybe I'll show that at my film club.
Yeah.
And count the walkouts.
you charge them to leave.
Yeah. Pay what you think it's worth. Nothing.
By the way, Dave Annett let me know the cats did magically appear.
Yeah. Scratched them up real good.
Because I was doing my Neil Diamond. All right. So, good directors making bad movies. Richard Linklater. What do you think, Dan? You've seen the list.
I have seen the list.
Yeah. Well, they chose Bad News Bears, which I don't agree with. It's not nearly as good as the original, but it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. I guess that's a backhanded compliment of some kind. Because the original Bad News Bears is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I think the best baseball movie ever made. And so the idea of them remaking it really irked me. And then I saw it and I was like, okay, it's all right.
You didn't do that bad, Linklater.
I'm trying to think what would I pick for Linklater? I like all his movies. Maybe The Newton Boys, the Western he made with my man, Matthew McConaughey. So, but he gets a pass because he made Dazed and Confused. He can make whatever he wants.
Is McConaughey good in that one?
Of course he was. He's good in everything. Even bad movies, seriously. And those romantic comedies that he made, those terrible romantic comedies that he made, he was charming and good in all of them. He did what he was supposed to do in the romantic comedy genre.
Right.
And then people realized, oh, wait a minute. And then like a few years later, people were like, oh, Dallas Buyers Club, True Detective. Oh, Mud. Oh, my God, this guy is good. Martin Scorsese, they picked Boxcar Bertha, which is the wrong movie to choose. Do you have a bad Martin Scorsese movie, Esmeralda?
No.
Dan, can you think of a bad Martin Scorsese movie? Boxcar Bertha is not great. I mean, he made it with Roger Corman for $2, and it was before, you know, Taxi Driver and stuff. So I have an obvious choice. It's the only Martin Scorsese movie I hate. There's only one Martin Scorsese movie I hate. I'm not crazy about Casino, but anything?
Nothing.
Cape Fear. I hate Cape Fear. I hate that movie. I was so mad when I saw it. I was so upset. And I remember that two of my favorite filmmakers, this was 1991, two of my favorite filmmakers who I think some of the greatest American filmmaking of ever really destroyed me that year. And both of them made horror movies. So Scorsese does Cape Fear and it's unwatchable. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh my God. And De Niro is awful in it. And the other one was Jonathan Demme made Silence of the Lambs that year. So I was like, what the hell is going on? What are you guys trying to prove? That you can suck? So, all right. Speaking of horror movies, David Cronenberg, they pick M. Butterfly. That's a great movie. It's a great movie. I'm trying to think of. I don't think David Cronenberg's. He hasn't made a bad movie. That's it. All right. How about performances by actors or actresses that ruin their career? Now, this isn't necessarily good actors given bad performances, Dan, but these are performances that pretty much ended their career. Ready? Let's fly down this. See how many of these we agree with. Elizabeth Berkley, Showgirls. Yes. Yes. Freddie Prinze Jr., Scooby-Doo. Where is he now? He's just hanging out. He's got a cool wife.
Nice consolation prize.
Yeah. Alicia Silverstone, Batman and Robin. She came back and played the mother in some movie last year.
She's doing something.
Is she? She's still working?
I've seen her somewhere.
Yeah, like straight-to-video stuff.
Yeah.
I like her. I've always liked her.
There was that controversy about the way she fed her kids, too.
Really? I don't remember that.
She fed them like a bird, so she chewed up the food.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Okay, so she's a weirdo. All right.
I mean, if they don't got teeth, right?
I mean, it's one way to do it.
She doesn't have a blender? What the hell?
She doesn't want to dirty stuff up.
Doesn't want to dirty up the blender?
It's a pain to wash stuff.
So on this article here, Dan, they actually narrowed it down to one Nicolas Cage movie. I don't know how the hell they did that.
Wow.
But they
when
picked,
was it written?
I don't know. It's 2000 movies from 2008.
So
they picked Bangkok Dangerous. I don't know why they would pick that. I mean, it's a terrible movie. But you could go. There's like 80 or 90 Nicolas Cage performances that you can pick.
But is it because they've kind of all
leveled off?
Yeah, they're all leveled off. So it's like,
Yeah, maybe that might be the case. Because 2008, you know, he won the Academy Award. Well, God, he won the Academy Award in 97 or something. So for Leaving Las Vegas. So there were a lot of bad performances after that. So they say Demi Moore in Striptease ended her career. G.I. Jane came out after that, so I don't believe that. Oh, here's a good one. Taylor Kitsch and John Carter. What the hell happened there? Remember that was going to be the big thing.
Oh,
he was like,
yeah.
They pushed the hell out of that movie, and it made like a dollar. Wasn't he just in something, Taylor Kitsch? Wasn't he just in something?
He was David Koresh in the Waco.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They say John Travolta in Battlefield Earth, his passion project.
Who else was in that?
Barry Pepper, Forrest Whitaker.
Like, there was some
there
people.
Were good, yeah, Barry Pepper's a great. Forrest Whitaker's a great. It's all great.
Are they Scientologists? Is that why?
I don't know if they're all Scientologists. I know Travolta, obviously,
right.
is. But that was his passion project. Seriously, he wanted to make that movie since he read the book, the L. Ron Hubbard book, which he thought was amazing. Have you seen Battlefield Earth?
No.
Oh, my God.
That's what I assumed why people were in it.
Well, at that time, Travolta was big.
Because they'd be Scientologists and be like, yeah, no, I want to do this.
I want to do this movie. I don't think Barry Pepper's a Scientologist. I don't know.
Need
and then finally,
Phaeton's red.
And finally, for some reason, they include Tom Green and Freddy Got Fingered. That's just unfair. That's unfair and wrong. Hey, Esmeralda! We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Fly Jams Friday and a lot more. All right, we'll take a break. The news is coming up.